Support for NPR podcasts comes from Northwestern Mutual, the quiet company, committed to building lifelong relationships in communities and protecting financial futures.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. Senator Barack Obama has won South Carolina's Democratic presidential primary. He jubilantly thanked the crowd and told them his candidacy is about change for the future.
I know that when people say we can't overcome all the big money and influence in Washington, I think of that elderly woman who sent me a contribution the other day, an envelope that had a money order for $3.01. Along with a verse of scripture tucked inside the envelope. So don't tell us change isn't possible. That woman knows change is possible.
Obama took 55% of the vote. Hillary Clinton took second with 27%, and John Edwards had third with 18%. As former President Bill Clinton campaigned in Missouri for his wife Hillary, he congratulated Obama for winning. Frank Morris of member station KCUR in Kansas City has this report.
Hundreds of people packed a high school gym near the Truman Library in Independence to hear the former president. Standing on stage with three black congressmen, Mr. Clinton never mentioned Obama's record or anything about racial politics. He drew fire from Missouri Democrats for that kind of talk last week. Mr. Clinton seemed anxious to move past South Carolina.
He won fair and square. We went there and asked the people to vote for us. They voted for him. We congratulate him. Now we go to February 5th when millions of Americans finally get in the act.
A week from Tuesday, 22 states, including Missouri, hold Democratic primaries or caucuses. Polls show Mrs. Clinton ahead in some of the larger ones, like New York and California, while Obama appears to have an edge in Republican strongholds like Kansas, Nebraska, and North Dakota. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris in Kansas City.
Former Indonesian President Suharto has died. He was 86. He ran a brutal dictatorship over more than 30 years in power. But Suharto gave up his office in 1998 following huge street protests. Suharto was blaming for most of Indonesia's political killings in the 60s. Space Shuttle Atlantis could lift off as soon as February 7th. Program managers have met to discuss repairs to the vehicle's external fuel tank, as well as any other issues that could keep Atlantis grounded. From member station WMFE, Pat Duggins reports.
Engineers think a modified electrical plug on the tank is doing the trick to resolve sensor problems that scrapped two launch tries last month. The unusual nature of Atlantis's problem prompted NASA to split the process of clearing the vehicle for launch in half. Deliberations from shuttle program managers will be now reviewed by NASA's top brass later this week. That's when the target date of February 7th may be set in stone. A crew of seven astronauts from the U.S., Germany, and France is waiting to dock Atlantis to the International Space Station and deliver the 10-ton Columbus lab. NASA's so confident Atlantis is ready to go that the agency has set a mid-March date for the next shuttle launch, which carries the first section of a Japanese lab called Kibo. For NPR News, I'm Pat Duggins in Orlando.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Egypt has announced that its border guards may shoot back at Palestinians who attack them along the border between Egypt and Gaza. The border fence between them is broken, and thousands of Palestinians have rushed in, hoping to buy food, fuel, and other scarce goods. Egyptian troops are heavily guarding the area where Palestinians have entered. Israel is now worried about the possibility of Palestinian militants entering Egypt and then moving toward Israel. Pakistan's President Pervez Musharraf has reportedly rebuffed a request from the Bush administration to allow U.S. forces greater freedom to operate in Pakistani tribal areas. They could track al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and other militant groups there. NPR's Craig Windham reports.
The New York Times reports that CIA Director General Michael Hayden and National Intelligence Director Mike McConnell traveled secretly to Pakistan earlier this month to present the proposal personally to Musharraf. They were asking for leeway to expand the U.S. presence in Pakistan, either through joint operations with Pakistani forces or through covert unilateral CIA missions. But Musharraf rejected the idea. The two countries are discussing other joint efforts, such as increasing the use of the CIA's Predator remote-controlled surveillance aircraft, which can also fire missiles. The Times says the meeting was prompted by increased concern among top U.S. officials that al-Qaeda and the Taliban are stepping up efforts to destabilize Pakistan's government. Craig Windham, NPR News, Washington.
Novak Djokovic has defeated Frenchman Joe Wilfried Tsonga for the men's singles tennis title at the Australian Open. Djokovic was the third seed. Tsonga wasn't even seeded at all. Djokovic knocked off dominant world number one Roger Federer to get to the final. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News in Washington.